Oh, that's right. You are listening to WCRS right here. This is a very special interview we're going to do this afternoon. We're doing it with Solomon Vincent Burke Jr., who is the son of Solomon Burke. And right now we are just getting everybody connected so we can all talk and have a good time here talking about the one and only Solomon Burke. I tell you what, you read his life story, it is fantastic and filled with lots of good stuff. I found this clip on the internet last night. Solomon Burke was talking about the good old days of music, and I thought you might enjoy this as we get ready to talk to Solomon Vincent Burke Jr., his son, who says he misses that big guy a whole lot. Let's take a listen.
Back in the 50s and early 60s, before the Chitlin Circuit, was the Neckbone Circuit. The Neckbone Circuit consisted of playing places where you worked the door and you got paid, you know, part of what you made coming in through the door, and then the promoter would take the money for the advertisement, for the two placards he made, you know, for the handbills he passed out, and then for the food you ate, and then he'd give you the $14.27 for you and the band. That was called the Neckbone Circuit. The Chitlin Circuit's where you really got $50 a night.
Right. The warehouses, remember when we'd go
tobacco
in?
Tobacco barns and the top of the trucks and was our stages.
Tobacco on one side sometime and cotton on the other side.
You remember playing Greensboro, North Carolina?
Greensboro.
And had the chicken wire up so that the people would throw things at you and hit the wire, you know?
Yeah.
And I forget that time I played with Fats Domino and got so bad. Fat Domino jumped out the window and I couldn't get out the window.
The Great Bobby Blue Man. Without a warning, you broke my heart. Took my love, tore it apart.
I just love that about the neckbone money and the Chitlin money. You certainly got a whole lot fatter on that Chitlin money for $50. But you can definitely tell that Solomon Burke was a preacher. In fact, he started out his life early on as a preacher. He was preaching at age 7, I understand from his bio. So that was pretty cool. We've got so much we want to talk about with Solomon. We're just trying to make sure he gets on the line with us and we can get him all tuned up so everybody can hear him. But it really is amazing that he was preaching at age 7. He credited his grandmother, I do believe, who was showing him the way at an early time. In fact, he only had his mother. His father was not part of the family at that time. And so he just grew up. He just grew up in all of this type of single family. He was at age 7 known as a boy wonder preacher for his charismatic preaching in the pulpit. Now, he was born March 21st, 1940, in his grandmother's house in West Philadelphia. And Burke was consecrated as a bishop at birth by his grandmother in the Solomon's Temple, a congregation of the United House of Prayer for All People, which she founded at her home in Black Bottom, West Philadelphia. So there you go. His name when he was actually born was James Solomon MacDonald, but when he was 9, his mother married a rabbi and butcher. I love it. And his name was Vincent Burke. So he had his name changed to Solomon Vincent MacDonald Burke. and they called him Saul. We must have Solomon on the air with us. How about that? Okay, unmute now. I'm unmuted, and looks like we are just about ready to go. Do I have the pleasure of having the son of Solomon Burke, Solomon Burke Jr., on the phone with us?
Yes, you do. I'm here.
You're here. All right.
Yes, how you doing?
I'm doing good. This time difference, though, between California and the eastern coast of the United States is a little overwhelming, isn't it?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. So how's things going?
Okay, well, it's going good here. I was just talking some about your dad. Man, what a fascinating guy he is. But let's talk a little bit about you. Now, for a lot of people out there that are Star Trek Trekkies, you were in quite a few Star Trek television episodes.
Yeah, it was Star Trek Enterprise with Scott Bakula. It's TV show. It was on. It was a great show. It was a great run. Wish it went longer and had a few speaking parts there. And I was featured on it quite a bit as Starfleet.
I guess because you're good looking, right?
I hope so. I think I got it from my mom. My daddy's great looking man. He was fantastic. I love him. I miss him.
I'll bet you do. I'll bet you do. And let's see. So let's talk a little bit about you. Then we're going to talk about your dad. So what do you do now?
Well, I was in the TV show Pretty Little Liars too. I had some speaking parts on there and featured a lot. I was on that series for several years, like 4 years, and a few other shows. Did Triple X and the Ben Diesel movie. I was like a stunt guy in the helicopter shooting the machine gun M16. A bunch of little things. You can go to my IMDb page and see a lot of stuff on me. And I'm working with several people and, you know, putting music together and putting it out there. I'm working with Julie Kush right now in the Oopsie Daisy band. And I'm working with Vod and the Villains, the fantastic, incredible, amazing Vod and the Villains. Vod Overstreet's the leader, him and his wife Peaches, which are fantastic. It's like a New Orleans soul blues Americana kind of sound. It's really cool. I think I sent you some tracks. I'd love for you to play it, you know, any chance you get.
I will.
And I'm working with Jeb Lipson, too, on some music that we have, like, two albums sitting in his safe right now, working on them, trying to get them out and see what happens with them. So it's so nice to have someone like you working with me, and hopefully we'll get it out there and see what people think.
Well, you know, that is terrific. Now, when you were growing up, what did you want to be?
What did I want to be? I wanted to be a cop. police officer. So I studied, you know, criminal justice in college. I tried it for a little bit, and it was fun, you know, being a campus cop. And, you know, after college, after 3.5 years, I blew my knee out. So started talking with my old man, you know, and he's like, hey, why don't you come on out and go on the road with me, help me out a little bit. So I did that for a while and took a break and then went back. He needed help on the Don't Give Up On Me tour and did that with him for the Grammy. He went out for the Grammy run. So it was a blast, you know, just living life. And I'm doing catering now, too. I got my fingers in a little of everything right now.
Yeah, but I'll bet once you started traveling out there with your dad, it was not easy. Would not have been easy to go back to being a campus or a cop, period, right?
Oh, no, it wouldn't have been easy.
You got bit by the bug, right?
I got bit by the bug. It was fantastic. It's just, he was fantastic to be on the road with. I learned a lot, and, you know, I would be on stage sometimes, and he would sing a certain song, like a Georgia or Don't Give Up On Me, and I would have to walk off because it was just so emotional, and he just had so much power, and it just would get inside you, you know. And he would say, why are you walking off stage? I said, because I'm crying, man, I'm crying. You just got into my skin. He was a lot of fun. Yeah, well, I just miss him.
Now, did you write some songs for your dad?
There's a few songs I wrote for him and stuff. I wrote with him, and I was a kid. He gave me credit for a lot of things, so now it's like I wrote them, and I'm like, okay, I guess I did. But little words I would say here and there, and he would say, that's going to be a song, Junior. So he made it work, you know. And seeing some royalties here and there, but it's still like in the courts and stuff, working things out.
Sure.
Been a long time, but he's got 22 kids he's trying to still feed.
Well, he was prolific, that's for sure.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. He loved his women, food, and singing.
He looked like a man that loved life, period. He liked all the aspects of it.
Yes, ma'am. He loved everybody. He was fantastic. He did it all, you know. He's had restaurants. He dabbled in everything, you know.
I was very interested. I saw where he had a where he started in the mortuary business.
Yeah, yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Back in Philly, you know. It went for a while, and then, you know, he had to pass it on to others to keep it rocking and rolling. You know, my sister Victoria was in the business, and my brother King Solomon, Haile Selassie, was in the business. And some of the nieces and nephews. I have a nephew right now. His name is Lucky. He goes by, his first name is Prince. And he's a minister out here. He's doing the whole preaching and mortuary and all that right now. So it's a beautiful thing to see. You know, my dad had 126 grandchildren. He's got 38 great grandchildren.
Wow.
So they're all trying to get in there. You know, and I got I have one nephew. His name is Novel Stevenson. His father was Mickey Stevenson that wrote Dancing in the Street. And he's doing fantastic. He's won five Grammys. He's a writer. He works with Alicia Keys and Dallas Austin and a lot of other great artists. And I'm just so proud of him. You know, he's like a protege of Prince. You know, he can play every instrument. He picked that up when he was out of his diapers.
You know, I think that's very interesting. And one of the things that, as we're interviewing artists and everything and talking to the children, it's wonderful to see how people that have the dad, and does it get passed down to the other family members or does it skip a generation? But there are so many people that have the opportunity to be in music and are talented, not just in it because dad or mom was in it, but are actually talented. That's got to be good to see for your family.
Oh, yeah, it's fantastic. It's in our blood. It's just like most of us, all of us do it. All of us are into it. You know, I have another brother named Gemini that's pursuing the legends himself. He's doing stuff with Joe Tex and a couple of other famous artists, you know, and they put a couple of guys together and they've been performing and doing little shows called the Sons of Legends. And it's just beautiful to see, you know, and he's asking me, why don't you do it, bro? I'm like, I'm doing my thing. And, you know, God's leading me in the right way and the right path, so it's working out. So I'm just proud of them all. And then my sister Melanie, she's another like a Aretha Franklin. She's mind blowing. She's just, oh my gosh, she just never got what she was due. We, you know, when we were kids, we all had like a cartoon called Kid Power, and we, you know, that went for a little bit with Mike Curb and MGM Records with the Osmonds and stuff like that. And now we're all just spread out and trying to make it and pay the bills, you know, and do whatever we can, dabble in the music industry whenever we can, you know, whatever we're blessed with, you know, like today, this is a blessing talking with you. I'm so excited. I'm trying to tell you.
Well, we're glad to have you on the air with us.
Now,
now, one of my questions is, I noticed when your dad was growing up, it says at an early age, he had a little wagon made out of fish boxes and he was delivering groceries. When he was seven,
yep.
He sold newspapers on a location.
Yep.
And then he had the first 99-cent car wash.
Oh, yeah. He was a hustler, man. He, like I said, he dabbled in everything. He wanted things to happen. He wanted to pay the bills, you know. And he had kids to feed when he got older. He didn't have kids when he was like seven.
Right. But my question is to you, did he believe in putting kids to work and making you work, or was he more like, oh, you're my kids, I'll just do whatever?
He loved his daughters, you know. The boys, he was like, okay, you need some money, turn around here, let me give you that, you know, I'll show you some money, get out there and get a job.
I like it.
Yeah.
But his daughters, he just kind of felt, well, whatever you need, honey.
Yeah, he gave him whatever you need, baby. You got it. He'd be on the road, and I'm like, Dad, what are you doing? He's like, your sister needs money. Send this to her in the Western Union right now. Just get it going. I said, you're getting ready to go on stage. She needs money. Let's go. Just get it done, and we'll see you in a little bit. You know, so he was a lot of fun, man. He loved his babies. He loved all of his kids. You know, he if he had it, he gave it, you know. And he made sure we were fed and had clothes on our back.
Well, I think he did pretty darn well, although I guess it was pretty tough for him in the beginning. And I was curious, did he carry on his preaching throughout his life? I mean, if he wasn't preaching on stage or in the pulpit, was he preaching to you guys?
All the time he's preaching. Every word that came out of his mouth sounded like he was preaching. But he had that voice. He had that voice that would scare you to church. Big voice, you know. It just, you knew he didn't have to touch you or put his hands on you. All you had to hear was his voice. He'd get right up, Junior! And you'd be like, oh my God, what was that? Yes, sir. What do you need? I'm here, Dad. What do you need?
I love it. You know, it's just not like that today, though, is it?
Yeah. No. It's not, you know. And there's a lot of kids that need to be straightened out and, you know, and send to military schools or whatever just to put them on the right path, because it's sad to see how some of these parents are being treated, you know. And my dad was still around. He would take them in and straighten them out.
Well, right.
Take them to church.
Right. And, you know, I think it, even reading over some of his background bio, he was real concerned about getting into soul music because he was concerned it wasn't the right type of music to be into as a preacher.
Right, right. When a man could sing anything, man, he country, blues, rock, soul. He just did it all, you know. And gospel was his baby. He loved that, you know. That's what he grew up on, you know. He's a Philly boy.
Right. So, well, I read where it says he decided eventually that secular music was not the antithesis of the church, but rather a new avenue, a new dimension to spread the gospel.
That's it. But he did preach about sex in church, though. He'd say some funny things sometimes. But he didn't mean any harm. He would be like, you women out there in the back, y'all make sure y'all get up here with the minister or something. I don't need these heathens in this church looking at me. he's just a funny guy. He didn't mean any harm or anything. He's just having fun.
Well, you know, I'm watching some of the videos and stuff of him. He certainly, when he was younger and moving around and dancing on the stage, he certainly, he was cute. I mean, that's all you can say. He just had a cuteness about him.
Yeah, he was sexy. He gave that sex appeal on stage. He was just a fantastic performer, you know, Mr. Entertainment, you know. And I learned so much from him. And it just, sometimes when I'm performing, it's just, I don't know what comes out of me, but it comes out just move and groove and sing and, you know, and do what you have to do to make people happy, you know, because that's what they're there for, to see a great show. And my father always put that out there. You know, he always wanted to put on a great performance for the people.
Well, it sounds like to me, I mean, I didn't get a chance to see much of what you're doing, but the vaudevillians and that type of thing, sounds like you like some of that old type music there.
It is. They're called Vaude and the Villains, Vaud. And they're just excellent. You know, they're a fantastic band, and I just love being in it. I met these guys when I was on a TV show, Don Cheadle's show, House of Lies. And I was hired as a dancer, you know, because I'm an actor, too. So I'm sitting there, and I'm like, and my dad has been passed away for like 5 or 6 years at the time. And I was like, man, they remind me of my pops band and Bruce Springsteen, you know, and that's what this guy's going for, you know. And he took a year. I gave his wife, and his wife's in the band. Her name is Peaches, and they're like burlesque dancers in the band. And so she's in charge of that, and she sings too. She's like fantastic. And he sings. He's incredible. They put this act together, and they've been doing it for 15 years, and I happen to get a part. I'm on board, you know. So they use me once in a while, and when they have a great show, and we do a lot of festivals. We did a show last year with Maple Staples. It was fantastic, and Dr. John, and you know, a lot of great acts. Big Bad Voodoo Daddies, it was just fantastic. Just so happy to be back in that scene where it's a big crowd and people screaming and making you feel good. You know, that energy is amazing. And just to make people happy, it's fantastic to see, you know. So I'm so happy to be with these guys, and I would love it if you play their stuff. And
I
did a song on the album called Good Stuff. It's a blues song, blues Americana song. It's beautiful, and he wrote the song, Vaught Overstreet. So it's wonderful. You know, and like I said, I'm working with Jeb Lipson and Julia Rush, and it's fantastic, man. These people are just believing in me and as an entertainer, and I'm getting my chance to do what I really love to do when I can do it. And then
if your dad was here right now, what would be the biggest tip that he would give you to become a superstar?
He would say, son, one thing, don't give up your job working at the kitchen for exploring food. That's a damn good job. You're working in Beverly Hills. You're doing all these big parties. You did Kanye West. You've been doing Beyonce's party, little blue party. He would say, I'm proud of you there. Can you bring me some of that good food? But then he was like, stick with your music too, though. Don't give that up. So he would be really happy. He would push me towards what I'm doing. You know, I'm doing that Americana blues soul type of music and, you know, and Norah Jones kind of feel. I just love that feel. It gets into people's skin, you know, and it reminds me of my pops, you know, and it's just beautiful. You know, when, like I was saying with the Vaughn Villain Band, I couldn't believe they did my dad's song, Everybody Needs Somebody to Love, and they didn't even know me. And guy asked me, he said, so are you Solomon Burke's son? And I'm like, yeah, we do a song, Everybody Needs Somebody to Love. I'm like, oh my God, this is meant to be. So it's just crazy, you know, that I was blessed with that, you know, and then I got blessed with Julia Kush to do the Up to the Mountain, and we put it on YouTube, and everybody loves it. It's just been fantastic, you know, and I'm so excited about just working with these guys, you know.
I think that's great. But now let's talk a little bit about your dad here. Now, I saw where back in 1963, that was just a couple of years after you were born, I do believe, so you may not remember this, but he agreed to be crowned the King of Rock and Soul in a ceremony at the Royal Theater in Baltimore.
Oh, yeah. He got that white crown and a white cape and a whole white suit on. That man knew how to dress. He's just a sharp cat. He's got, oh, my gosh, that was just a blessing. The guy just said, you have got to be crowned the king, man. You are just, you're just rocking it, you know? And he's just always had that look, you know? And you just could feel the royalty coming from him, you know? It's just, he was just a special, special man.
Yeah.
Very special.
Well, I saw where they, it was quite a show. It went on for a week. And he accepted the King of Rock and Soul, indicating without soul, there'd be no rock, and without rock, there'd be no soul. And
right on. He just knew how to say the right words, you know? And it just really touched everybody. And you just would just read into every line he said. It's just like there's a message in it, you know? It was just a beautiful thing. Like, you know, when he did Just Out of Reach, it's just the way he sang it. And that's a country song. It was just beautiful. It's fantastic.
Yeah, and I, you know, James Brown is, of course, from over here in Augusta, right up the road from us here.
Oh, yeah, that's his brother from another mother.
Right, okay. And James Brown, it says, after James Brown's song, Papa's Got a Brand New Bag, in late 65, he believed that he should be crowned the King of Soul, so we hired your dad to perform one night in Chicago, but ended up paying him not to perform, but rather to watch him perform instead, expecting your dad, Solomon Burke, to surrender his crown and title to him.
Right. he was a cold dude, man. He was a cold dude. I couldn't believe he got away with that, you know? I was I'm in touch with his son, Tony, now. His son, Tony, plays bass, and he's phenomenal in an entertainer and stuff. And I was like, man, your pops didn't play, man. He was a bad dude. But, you know, we did a show with him before he passed in Australia at the Byron Bay Jazz Festival. It was fantastic. What's the guy's name? Peter Knowles was my dad's promoter, and he put all those shows together out there. And oh my gosh, it was just such an honor to meet him and my dad talking for a minute. He said to my dad, he said, "Damn, Solomon, you're getting big, man." And my dad said, "Damn, James, can you speak? I can't understand a damn thing you're saying, man."
Well,
but,
you know,
you still put on the show. They have fun. They always clown each other. All those guys, as they got older, they like kidding and goofing off, you know, playing around, saying funny shit to each other. Excuse my language.
Yeah. Well, I thought that was pretty funny because, according to your dad, he paid, James Brown paid him $7,500 to stand on stage and hand him my robe and crown. It was a great gig. I got paid and I didn't have to sing a note. Burke accepted his money but retained his title and regal paraphernalia.
Exactly. You know, he's the original cat with the capes and crowns. You know, he started all that, and I think that'll go down in his legacy. I don't see anybody else really rocking that. I try to wear like a little robe once in a while and fake it, you know. I have fun doing any of his music, and just it was an honor just being around these guys and getting to meet them and, you know, doing the Don't Give Up on the album. And you know, where he won the Grammy, and he had all those great writers, Brian Wilson, Bob Dylan, Elvis Costello, Nick Lowe. You know, it just, it was, Joe Henry produced it, and wow, that was such an album. You know, it was incredible, you know, to just go out on the road on that and just to see people just, you know, mesmerized. And the kids coming up to me, it's like, that's your father crying and just loving his voice, you know. It was a beautiful thing to see before he passed it. That he got to see more, you know, and he got to go in the Hall of Fame and you know, win a Grammy and win out other awards. So I was,
you know, that has to be a truly amazing thing from a child that was born with no dad there at the time was came from nothing, really. I mean, was out there hustling, as you said, at an early age and was able to climb the ladder the way he did.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. It was that voice that took him there. He's just a, you know, he's a male Aretha Franklin. You know, they were both, they grew up together and they both had that big voice, you know, and they're at Atlantic Records, you know, so it's like a beautiful thing.
I saw the tribute that Solomon Burke and Aretha did for Sam Cooke. That is absolutely fantastic.
And he didn't even know that she was going to be there. He's like, oh, she didn't make it in. Come, she surprised him, showed up, and he's like, I'm going to fight her. He just loved it. He was so excited, man. He was like, oh my gosh, this is beautiful. It made his dreams come true just to be on stage with her again, you know, at their age and still doing what they love.
Yeah, yeah. And
so now they're together having fun with all the rest of those cats, Sam Cooke and Joe Tex. Oh, man, he's got to be up there having a blast.
Well, that's what we certainly hope. And, you know, I when I was watching that, I was amazed. I mean, both were big people. I mean, your dad in the...
Oh, yeah. He told her, I don't have any room on the throne. You're going to have to find somewhere else to sit. So. Well, he was saying, yeah. I'm like, oh, my God. Yeah. But they... You like that? They like having fun with each other, man. It was a beautiful thing to see. But he loved her. He loved her like a sister.
Well, did how come your dad got so heavy? I mean, just to ask.
Well, he got heavy from being around royalty and just, you know, doing some of these shows. They would feed him and just have tons of food in his dressing rooms. You know, and everybody, he had it for the band and everything, but. He just, it relaxed him, you know, it was a relaxed thing when he had so many kids. So I think it just made him feel a little bit better. Like, let me just eat this away right now, just to calm myself. And it just, you know, when he had his downtime, he would always cook for everybody and he was, you know, tasting his food and just, he didn't really want to get that way. It just caught up to him. You know, I started working out with him when we did the Fat Possum tour, and he was really trying. He started losing the weight, but then he told us at his last birthday, like, man, I'm 70. I think I've been here long enough. I think it's time for daddy to go home. And all my brothers and sisters, we put in for his birthday to have like lobster and shrimp, and he shouldn't be eating that stuff, but he loved it. And it was like, gotta just let him taste it one more time, you know? So, and he got to taste it, you know, he had restaurants. He just was always around food and had food ready for guests or anybody in the church.
and he loved his fried chicken. Had to have fried chicken, man. I went to rehearsal with him one time, and one of my buddies was coming to try for a guitar, to play guitar in the band, and he ran out of chicken, and the guy showed up a little late, and he said, "You hungry, son?" And he's like, "Yes, sir. I see you got your chicken over there." He said, "Oh, yeah, that's gone, but let me see what I got." Reached in his pocket and gave him a chicken bone. I said, "Dad, you're cold, man. Don't do that to that guy." "You're going to give him a chicken bone, man. He's like, you shouldn't be eating this. Why you got this in your pocket, man? What is wrong with you?"
Did your dad hide food around? I mean, you know, people right. that particularly, you know, they're right. always chicken afraid they're not going to have enough food, and they hide it around.
Right, right. But he would always, if one person wouldn't get it, the next kid would. Yeah, grandkids always sneaking them food. "We'll get Grandpa some ice cream, get a little cake. Don't let Junior see. Don't let Elizabeth, this Lassie, them see. Melanie and them, they get mad." Okay, Grandpa, I'll get it.
Okay, so that was the problem. Now, you said he liked to cook. What did he cook?
He loved cooking his collard greens and ham bones and fried chicken and macaroni and cheese. Oh, he made a 7 cheese and macaroni that would just knock your socks off, man. It was amazing. The man just could cook everything, and he loved, you know, barbecuing. On 4th of July, just loved to barbecue, you know. I did like one of my last 4th of July's with him up at his house up in Mulholland and stuff, Hidden Valley. And he was barbecuing, and he, you know, we made steaks and ribs, and I brought stuff over and had my lady with me, Kelly. And, geez, we had such a good time. And then we started making s'mores, the mushrooms, and, you know, with cooking them over the fire grill, the s'mores.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep, and, with marshmallows and chocolate.
Like, yeah, the marshmallows, yeah, and the chocolate and all that. And I'm like, "And I never eat that stuff." And he said, "Oh, I made a couple of them. Go take this into the house. I think he said one." I come back out. I took them in the house. Everybody said, "Okay, let me go check on Dad, make sure he's getting these other ones done." The man had it all over his hands and face and everything. He said, "Don't you go and tell him, man. You're going to deprive me. Don't deprive me of this. I need this." Like a big kid. "Put that down, man." He was funny. He was a crack up. He was so much fun, you know. It was like towards the end, he was like a brother to me, you know. I could talk to him and just really relate with him and help him out as much as I can. And I made a throne for him towards the end, and he had that emulated, like, all over the world. He wanted the throne just like the one I made him. So everywhere he went, he would have that gold throne with the red plush seat, you know, with velvet, and just like, he loved it, you know, and it looked good with him. And he had his cape and crown and just loved throwing it back to me or whoever was with him. Towards the end, he had the girls with him, Jane and Candy and Sophia. They did the last few shows with him and stuff. And he, you know, he was not supposed to go out again. He went out to Amsterdam, and that's where he passed away. He got off the plane, and he was in the airport, and he passed away like it was a brain aneurysm. And that was it. They thought he went to sleep. They went over and said, "Daddy, you ready to go?" They went to get the bags. He was gone. So it's pretty sad. But
pretty hard. I think pretty hard for family and friends and this type of thing, but. Good for him, but hard for the rest of the family if you don't know something like this is coming.
No, you don't. And it was, you know, pretty hard on those girls to be there and experience that. But they handled it well. And he was going to do a show, and it was promoting his new album. And he passed away. That was, he went to sleep, like, peaceful, you know, there in the airport. And, I was just proud that the girls were able to handle it. Candy and Sophia and Jane. Jane was his manager, girlfriend, and he loved his women. He had women all over the place. He was a minister, but he loved his women.
He's praying for them all, right?
He loved them all. He loved every race. He had every race. It's just people to him. They're just like, just beautiful, beautiful, beautiful women that he, you know, just, he wanted the right people around him that was going to help him and work with him and love his family. You know, so
that's one of the most important things, is that we never let a day go by that, because we never know when the last day is.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah. You never know. You got to count your blessings and be thankful and appreciate the people that are around you and that are helping you to do the best you can. And say your prayers, man, and be thankful. Just don't give up on yourself, like the album he put out, you know, he won the Grammy on. Don't give up on me. So that's all we're all looking for, is people not to give up on us and keep the faith and believe that we're going to be all right and make things happen, you know. I dabbled in a lot of things in this world, you know, and I've been blessed. So I'm just really thankful. I've, you know, done movies like White Oleander with Michelle Pfeiffer and Spider-Man and Triple X. And it's been beautiful. And commercials like Zima Beer and Kellogg's. And it's been a blessing to be on tour with my dad. You know, the Don't Give Up On Me tour. So it was amazing towards the end. That was an honor to do that for Fat Possum.
Do you sometimes feel, let's see, how old are you now?
I would tell you my age, but then I would have to kill myself.
Oh, you were born in 61. I know how old you are. Anyway.
Oh, don't tell everybody. I'm still trying to be 25.
Well, you still look good.
Thank you.
But I guess my point is.
That's my, yes, ma'am.
Yeah, my point is that, do you ever feel that you did a lot of these things early and you wonder what's going to happen next? Do you ever feel, God, I don't know, have I already done too many things? Are there more things left to do?
All the time. But, you know, that doubt comes in like that as you get older, and you just have to really keep the faith, because it's not good. You know, it's just those demons come around and you just got to keep trying to beat them down, you know? You know, it may take a little bit, but... You just got to pray on it and hope you have the best people around you to help you work it out, you know, and which you do. And I'm happy and blessed to have that. And I'm very thankful.
Absolutely. But, you know, that's like, let's see, I think there's a country song, Get Behind Me, Satan.
Yes, right. Get Behind Me, Satan. Get behind me.
Yep, there you go.
Don't stay behind me. You just,
but
get behind me and get away.
Yep.
Never come back.
Yeah, it's tough. I
got Jesus on my side.
Let's see. I was just looking at a quote from your dad here. It says he admitted serial infidelity during his marriages. He goes, "I was young. Girls were coming at me from every angle. I couldn't love them all, but I tried."
He sure did. I think he didn't try. He did it. He used to tell me, he said, "Son, if you know, you'd be on the road with me and a girl come to you and you like it, they ain't no good for you. That means you're supposed to be talking to dad. Let daddy work it out." I'm like, "Come on, Pop. Why you do me like that, man? You're stealing women from me."
Well,
he's a fun guy. He just did what he did. We like clowning and having fun with each other. It's it was just an honor and blessing to be out there, you know, and just to meet some of the people I got to meet. And,
absolutely.
You know, going to, oh my God, be on that stage with the Rolling Stones. Come on and put a cape on Mick Jagger singing "Everybody Needs Somebody to Love." Can't touch that. It was beautiful, man. And,
but that's what I'm saying. God. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
you know, sometimes you
it's a blessing. I'm like, I don't know if I'll ever be able to touch that or see that again. I think I could talk to these guys, but I've been texting them and saying hi and everything, but then I'm going to call me back. They might think I'm crazy or something. So
I know. That's what I'm saying. But, that when you've done that many things, like, how do you reach that next level, or what is the next level?
It's so tough. It's so tough, but I feel like I've been blessed to be in, you know, the bands that I'm in and the people that I'm working with, like the Vod and the Villains and Julia Kush and the OC Daisy Band and Jeb Lipson. Those type of people are just always backing me, and they believe in me, and my lady Kelly, she backs me, and just it's a beautiful thing. I'm just thankful, you know, and I just I'm blessed to have a great job right now for working for the Kitchen for Exploring Food in Pasadena. They're a fantastic company to work for. I'm an assistant manager and assistant for a lot of the managers, and it's been a blast, you know, and I do a lot of the VIP for them, and It's been an honor, you know. At the other day, I was at a party on Wilshire in the big risers and the big penthouses they have over there, and I got to hang out with like some of my dad's old friends, and when they found out who I was and I was catering to them, it blew their mind, you know. They were like, "Wow," you know. It was just an honor.
So, do you like to cook?
I love to cook when I get a chance to. I try not to because I can put that weight on. You know, all my brothers are big guys, and I used to be big guy. I used to be like 245. I'm down to 195, and I'm trying to stay there. I'm trying to stay sexy.
Yeah, I understand. You never know when that role may come along, right?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Well, is there...
You are so much fun. This is so much fun. I am so happy I'm talking with you. I needed to get this out. It's been years. I'm like, ain't nobody going to talk to me. Nobody wants to hear from me. They don't want to hear nothing from me. They probably think, what the heck is this guy going to say? You know, his father said enough. we could just hear him, you know. But this is beautiful. It's an honor to do this.
Well, you we're know, excited to do it, too. And I think it's great that you're in a position where you're meeting people and doing stuff. And, you know, who knows? Someday you're going to call me and say, Ann Eller, you need to interview me because now I'm bop, bop, bop.
Oh, you are so beautiful. I love that. Thank you. You know, you're just keeping the faith for me there. You're making me push myself even harder. You know, and I don't want to give up on myself. And I just want to make my family proud. And like my dad said to all of his 21 kids and 136 grandchildren, what is it, maybe like 50 great grandchildren now. And he just told him, get out there and get it. It's out there for you. Your papa left a legacy out there. So you just try. You have something to come out of it. Believe. And he said that at the Hall of Fame, you know, when he at the end, his speech. And it was just a beautiful thing to hear and see.
You know, it's great to have those memories, isn't it? And it's great to share those memories, isn't it?
Oh, it is. It's fantastic. It's a beautiful thing, you know. And it still blows my mind that he was my father and that I got to do the things that I got to do with him and meet some of the people that I met. And just doing this, it's just mind-blowing. I'm like, am I really doing a radio interview right now? Is this for real? I'm like, I guess this is a real world. I'm looking around. I got a house. I got a roof over my head. So I guess I'm doing, but it's leaking, but I'm gonna be all right. You got to work it out.
You know, I think that's what life is all about. And you got to open those doors and take those chances. You know, you and I both know Tony Spearman and,
Tony Spearman. That's my auntie. That's my dad's sister. I love her. She believes in me and she's like, don't you give up. Don't you give up. You know that song.
Yeah, she is very tenacious, but she has shared the story how she got to be the opening act for B.B. King's worldwide tour. And
she's amazing.
She is amazing in her own right. But what I was going to say was she told me that B.B. told her that he would open doors for her, but she needed to walk through them. And I think that is such good advice for all of us, that when a door is open, you've got to walk through it.
Yes, ma'am. I was a little afraid to walk through this door for a little bit. I've had other radio stations want to interview me and stuff, and I just said, let the other kids do it. I did my part, you know, with my dad and toured with him and had fun, and I'm in a band right now doing that, you know, with the Villains and Julie and Jeb and those guys. So I'm fine. But then this came along and Tony told me, you got to do this. And I said, for you, come on. I love you. I'd do anything. And it's time for me to do something. I'm Solomon Burke Jr. And I can't give up on that. You know, that I'm his namesake. And then, you know, I have my other brothers that King Solomon, Haile Selassie, as his other namesake, that went out there to accept the awards over with Graziano over there in Italy, Peretta, Italy Soul Festival. And they gave my dad a bridge over there in his name, his honor.
And
my brother went and a bridge. They built a bridge for him over there.
Wow.
They read, and it's in his name. You cross over, it's like 150 feet long. And it's a beautiful thing. He crossed over the bridge and they cut the red tape and took pictures with him. And it was just beautiful. And he sang a couple of songs for him at the Peretta Soul Festival and did a great job. I love it. That's my baby brother, King Solomon Haile Selassie. I'm so proud of him. And he was the baby.
Haile Selassie was the prime minister,
emperor
over in Ethiopia.
Yep. Yes, ma'am. He was my father's friend. And he gave my dad a beautiful topaz, big, huge diamond topaz ring. And my dad wore it for years and just loved that ring. And when he passed away, my brother was born when Haile Selassie passed away, the emperor. My dad took that name and named his son King Solomon Haile Selassie.
Unbelievable.
He just loved the name, and my brother grew up to really accept it and work with it.
Wow, I bet that stone came out of the sands over there in Ethiopia.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah, I bet that did.
Yes, ma'am. Yep. Yes, ma'am. It's powerful.
Well,
powerful message.
In closing this out, is there anything else that you can tell us about your dad that maybe as you've been sitting here doing this interview, you've go, God, I never even thought about that for years. Is there any thoughts there that you might be able to share with your listeners here?
He loved all of his wives. He loved Dolores, Tamiko. He loved Jane. He loved Sunday, my mother's Sunday. He loved them all, and he loved all the kids that he was blessed to have, everyone the same. And he was, and his grandkids, he just loved them like they were his kids, you know, and he spoiled every one of them when he got the chance to. And he didn't mean any harm to if any of them took anything, if they took something wrong from like the way he had spoke to them. He didn't mean anything. He wanted you to grow from it. And hopefully we're all growing, you know, now and remembering that he left a legacy, and every song that he put out there, it's got a message. And if you need to hear them or just want to feel good, just go put on the Just Out of Reach or Everybody Needs Somebody or Cry to Me, Cry to Yourself, or If You Need Me, Call Me, you know.
What's your favorite song by your dad?
My favorite? I love them all, you know. I love that Baby Blues. He had that blues song that was really, Candy. Oh, my baby's candy. Oh, man, that was such a beautiful song. He loved singing that. And I just loved them all, you know, and he just could do it all, you know. Like, up to the mountain, I was so happy to do that. I go up to the mountain. That's just, it was so incredible to be able to sing those songs, you know. I'm a little hoarse right now, but it's just, all those songs have a message in it. And the way he sang it was just amazing, you know. Everybody needs somebody. He would just kill that stuff.
Yeah, he did.
Oh, man.
And when you see some of the videos of him up there with that little smile on his face, that little dimple there.
Oh, my God. Oh, yeah. He would sing some songs and be up there crying himself, and you could just feel it. And just, you know, you forget about everything. That man, that you would just have that man in your mind at that moment, that the way he was singing it and presenting it. It was just phenomenal, you know. It was just a joy to see, you know. And then when he would do that Don't Give Up On Me, the Grammy-winning song, album, oh, it's amazing. Don't you give up on me. He just, I had to leave stage every time. I'd start crying when he sang that song. I'm like, is he singing it to me?
Did you ever feel you let your dad down?
I don't, you know, he never would say that to me, and he never said that to any of his kids. He just believed in whatever you're doing, you do. And I love you no matter what.
But did you ever feel you were letting him down?
There's times I felt like I might have not been there the way I should have been. But, you know, as you get older, he wanted you to do your thing. And I just did what I had to do to survive. And he was so proud of it. Whenever I was on the road with him, he would always pronounce, "My son, the actor Solomon Brett Jr. Come on, sing something, son." So it was funny.
He ever put you on the spot like that? Go ahead, sing something for us. And you're going, Dad, I'm not ready.
Yeah, I'm not ready, man. Right? Hold on a second. Finish up. Come on, dude. Down in the valley. I'm like, come on. You know that song. Sing it. I'm like, let somebody else sing, man. I just love seeing him sing. And then to see some of the grandkids and the kids sing with him, it was phenomenal, man. You know, and I closed out the show a lot of times for him, doing like, everybody needs somebody to love. You know, and he just loved it. And because I'd start doing the rock and roll. I'll be screaming. He'd be like, damn, son, calm down a little bit. It was good times.
It was good times. You know, and your dad reminds me of, well, actually a lot of my dad being, you know, you can do it. Come on now, Ann. Go ahead and
yeah, you can do
it.
Come on, man. Get into it. Get into it. And then even my little brother, you know, King Selassie, he would have him do, Unforgettable. That's what you are. And you would kill that song. It was just, it was amazing. You know, and my dad would just, you know, just be smooth with it, son. Be sexy. Be cool. You know, and then when it came to me, he said, oh, you the rock and roller. Go ahead and get that everybody. Do that everybody. Oh, no, do Down in the Valley. Down in the Valley. He just loved it, man. He would get us going. It was just fun, you know, and just to see the people screaming and cheering you on, and we were his kids, and they just loved to see that, you know.
It does.
Yeah, it was just it was so much fun, and he loved singing, like Sitting on the Dock of the Bay and all of his friends' songs, and he was always saying to keep it going, you know, like Stand By Me, and he just loved it. And the guy was amazing. It was just incredible, you know. Change Is Gonna Come, you know. He just loved doing it. I was born by the river in a little tent, just like the river I've been running ever since. It's been a long time coming, and I know a change is gonna come. Oh, yes, it will.
You know, yeah. That's beautiful. You know, I'm very impressed. One of the things I was just thinking about, you know, here's your dad at age 7 getting 99 cents for a car wash.
Yeah.
Right?
And he was something else.
And
he made it work.
He did make it work. But I just wondered, did he ever confide in you? You know, God, I don't know how I got to where I am today. I know I've worked hard and everything, but I was making 99 cents. I mean,
he would tell us all kinds of stories. You know, he had all kinds of great stories. You know, I used to walk in. I can say this now. He ain't around. He might come from heaven and get me. But he, you know, he was his own manager sometimes. And he would fake people out, like House of Blues people. Kevin over there at House of Blues, the promoter, the guy that runs the place. And Kevin Moore, I think his last name is. And he would say, I can't handle it. I'm going to have to let Bob Peterson talk with you on this and handle this. He's like, he just walked in. Hold on. And then my dad would go, all right, this is Mr. Bob Peterson. I'm like, Dad, don't do that. You, I saw where there's his damn money. I don't care what you do. You just get that damn money in the bank now. You know, I'm like, what? And then he said, hold on, I'm going to let you talk to Solomon because I can't talk with you anymore. We got a problem here, buddy. You got to figure it out. He was too crazy. And I'm like, Dad, what are you doing? You playing civil over here? But he was just fun, man. He was a funny guy, you know. He had to get his money. He would go, you know, call Atlantic Records and be a different person and say, well, I'm Fred picked this up in there, you know. Fred, you know, he's great.
I played before you came on. I played a clip from an interview with your dad, and he was talking about the what was it? The chicken neck pay and then the chitlin pay.
And chitlin circuit.
Yes.
Circuit.
Yeah,
you did that, man. That was pay the bills. That would he play anywhere. You know, it's like, somebody give me a gig. I'll do 10 in a row if I have to in a week. You know, give me 20 of them if I can get paid, you know.
I know, but
if you can pay me in food, I'll do it.
Did your dad always feel that need to perform because, even though, quote, he didn't need the money the way he did then, but did he just have that desire, like, oh, I've got to work, I've got to perform, I've got to be on tour?
He just loved performing. He just loved doing his thing, you know, in front of people and giving his all, you know, and just putting it out there and hoping that they got a message from it, you know, like when he would do like A Change Is Gonna Come and all those great songs, Stand By Me, and he would just, you know, it got into people and it would heal them and it would help them out in a certain way, you know. So that was his thing, you know. That's what he loved to do, you know, and that's all he wanted to do, you know.
Did he consider himself a preacher to the end?
Oh, yes, ma'am. He preached every day he could. You know, he had the, what was it, the House of, what was it, he had the churches all over the world, and then he the King Solomon's churches, you know, and he was amazing with people, you know, and he'd preach anywhere and any time, and he would do phone calls to people and preach for them. He had a live line that he would preach for them, you know, the house of King Solomon for everybody, you know. It was just a beautiful thing.
And well, I think, and didn't he really believed in feeding people? I read that somewhere with his churches and everything. Ma'am. And I think that is so important as we're coming up on Martin Luther King Day to think about the idea of service. And your dad was great, but he never lost that semblance for service to people.
Oh, never. He would feed the whole world if he could. He always would take care of who he could and when he could and if he could, if he had it, you know. So, and he made sure he always had food in the refrigerator for whoever needed it and a place to stay, you know, with his kids. But he loved helping people and the church and working with them and trying to make things better for their kids and their kids and whoever, you know, just to make it a better world. He was that type of person, you know. He had his ups and downs, but he just was hustling, and that was his thing. That's the way he did it. He was hustling the music scene the best way he could and to get what he could get there. You know, it's kind of sad that he didn't get as much as he really should have got. He should have been a lot bigger in the industry, but I guess what he left is pretty nice, and then you know, there people are still pushing it and listening to his music and hearing that he was world's greatest soul singer.
And, well, there's no doubt about his influence on the soul and the blues and all of this. He is just listed over and over as a primary source, and even though he might not have got his recognition that maybe he deserved in his life, it certainly has continued, and people continue to sing his praises. So, and his music is still popular.
They do tributes every year to him over there in Italy, Mr. Graziano over there in Peretta, the Peretta Soul Jazz Festival. And it's a beautiful thing, you know, and he's always got someone singing or one of our family members doing something. It's a wonderful thing. And I think he's going to carry that on until he leaves this earth, you know, and he's got people to keep it going because he believes in the soul music, Mr. Graziano over there in Italy.
It's an
honor. Just
you are listening to WCRS right here in Greenwood, South Carolina. Solomon, this has been an absolute delight. I didn't know how this was going to turn out or anything else, but I know.
I was kind of nervous, but, you know, it's a blessing, and I'm so blessed, and I love everybody out there, and God bless you and your family and my family, and just keep the faith in yourself out there, and, oh, my gosh, take care of the homeless that over the holidays, and Martin Luther King Day is coming up. Go out there and help people and preach and make them feel good, you know, and let's all come together. We don't need to be fighting and fussing.
we got enough of that going on the upper levels.
Yeah. Yes, ma'am. So it's like, let's work it out. It's time to work it on that. I got a song called Work It On Out. Check it out. It's a little jazz song. It's Tim Coltrane, the guy I work with too, jazz guy. He's got a jazz album out. Work It On Out, and I did two songs on his album. It's really nice. And
we're gonna be checking you out, Solomon, and we're gonna be playing some of your music right here on WCRS.
Please play the song "Good Stuff" from Vada and the Villains, and please play Jeff Lipson's and my song that we wrote together. It's called "I'm King Solomon." You'll love it. That's the name of the song, and it's just a dedication to my pops. And then he's another song, Walk on Water. And then my old man always was walking on water. He was such a blessing.
I'd like to have seen him walking on water. I'm sorry.
I knew you would get a laugh out of that. I just had to throw that in there.
But anyways, I'm going to check out some of this music. Okay. I am definitely going to play some. If you got anything going on or anything, please don't hesitate to reach out to us. We love keeping abreast of people doing good things out there, whether it's music or otherwise.
Yes, ma'am. I love you. Please play. I sent some songs to you. I hope to hear them. And I'd love to hear the King Solomon and Good Stuff and the Up to the Mountain and the other songs that I sent to you. And then the tribute to my dad, the King Solomon song, will be beautiful. And
I will. I'm going to close this out, though, with him singing Everybody Needs Somebody to Love,
somebody
if that's
to
okay.
Love. Everybody needs somebody love. I need you. You. God bless you. Love you.
God bless you. Bye-bye. You're great. Thank you so much. We're going to hear Solomon Burke, Everybody Needs Somebody to Love. You've been listening
Everybody
to a live interview.
Needs somebody to love.
Let me play the song.
Okay. I'm
all
done.
Right.
Bye-bye.
That's a good one. That's a wrap. Don't Thanks so much me. For being with us, Solomon. Here we go.
I'm so happy to be here tonight. So glad to be in your wonderful city. And I have a little message for you. And I want to tell every woman and every man tonight that's ever needed someone to love, that's ever had somebody to love, that's ever had somebody to understand, that's ever had someone that needs your love all the time.
Somebody's
with them when they're up. Somebody's with them when they're down. If you had yourself somebody like this, you better hold on to it. Cause let me tell you something. Sometimes you get what you want, and you lose what you have. And there's a song I sing, and I believe if everybody was to sing this song, you'd save the whole world. Listen to me.
Everybody. Come on, Pop.
Sugar
to kiss.
Baby to tease. Sometimes and I need
you.
And I need
you.
Baby, ain't nobody around, sugar.
I need you.
Feel like I feel a little sad inside. My baby,
Mr. Eatman,
and I can't
get a little bit.
Just to see me through, sugar. Somebody to hold my
hand. Got to see me through. Through and through, now, baby. Everybody! I see you, Pop.
All right, Solomon, you were singing back up there for him. That was great. Y'all have a great afternoon. You better get to your practice. Thanks for spending some time with us this afternoon. That's going to do it for us. Bye-bye, everybody. This is WCRS right here in Greenwood. Just having a good time. Solomon, thanks for being with us this afternoon.
That was so much fun. Thank you so much.
All right. God bless you. Good luck out there. Be
God
safe.
Bless. Yes, ma'am. Love you. Thank you.
All righty. Bye-bye.
All right. Hope to talk to you soon.
All righty. Bye-bye.